Blog Talk Radio.
Don?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good to talk with you finally.
Oh, I know. So sorry about it. Not missing each other.
Oh, that's okay. Well, what I'm going to do is we're going to tape this interview. I'll play it on The Balance next week, but I'll get it up on our iTunes podcast and SoundCloud and all that today. How's that sound?
Okay, that's perfect.
Fantastic. Perfect. Now, you're at Texas Motor Speedway, correct?
Yeah, well, right now I'm in the hotel, but we can lie.
you're going to be there soon, absolutely. Okay,
yes.
we'll just do this in 3, 2, 1. All right, and welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Mark Wessel, Presidente, another Saturday. I tell you what, I'm really excited to talk to our next guest, Don Murphy of Track Smack. What a great show you have, first of all, Don, and welcome to The Balance. For the very first time, we welcome you, and it's so good to have you on board. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm good. I'm a little tired, you know. That's what happens when it's two night races in a row. You get a lot of stuff crammed into a couple of days, but you know, hey, you know, somebody's got to do it, right?
It's a rough job, that's for sure, and those of us that cover racing certainly understand that. Don, I know that we caught up with you last Saturday or this Saturday, depending on if you're listening to us on the iTunes podcast or the SoundCloud, but we're replaying the interview on Saturday, next Saturday, and certainly you're out at Texas Motor Speedway. So let's talk a little bit before we get into Texas. Let's talk a little bit about all the action out there at Martinsville. Certainly, Kyle Busch had never won out there at Martinsville. Then he wins not only the Xfinity race, turns around and wins the wins another grandfather clock in the Cup race. How awesome is that for Kyle Busch, especially when we see the rebound that he's made from last year to this year?
No, I mean, it's huge. I think I saw a stat this morning, and you know what? I don't even want to quote it because I know I'll quote it wrong. I have so many numbers in my head. But I think it's something like 12 races that have run. So far this year, he's won 6 of them or something like that, or 9, or I don't know. It's just craziness. So, you know what? If you're a Kyle Busch fan and if you're Kyle Busch, it is amazing for you. And you know, I I will start by saying I, you know, take nothing away from the guy. He is an extreme talent, and when he is not in his own head, he is his own worst enemy. So when he is not in his own head and he is on his game, he is on his game. Now, for someone like myself that considers myself just, you know, a pure fan, I don't consider myself a talking head. I come to it, you know, from a fan's point of view. I will tell you, I am one of these fans, though, that I have huge issues right now in the series with Cup drivers going into the lower tiers in racing. I'm tired of it. Last night was boring. It was the Kyle Busch 300 for me. I know that it's something that has gone on for, you know, decades. The problem is decades ago you didn't have guys driving Cup, you know, quality equipment. They weren't Cup team sponsoring them. They were driving their own things. And Tom, there's an interesting fact out there that when Kyle Busch has run his own stuff. Now, I'm trying to think if Martinsville changed that, because if he was in a KBM truck, then that changes it. But before Martinsville then, I can tell you there was a stat out there that when he was driving KBM equipment, he had not won a race in the truck series or the Xfinity series. It's only when he's in Gibbs equipment. And that speaks volumes to what these teams and these lower tiers are having to deal with, the guys that are full-time, you know, Xfinity series teams or truck series teams that are on lower budgets. You know, the equipment is not to par, and they don't have Cup quality engineers, and they're helping them. And for me, it just takes away to me, you know, from what the aspect is of those lower tiers, and that's to grow talent. And I'm one of the people that believes, Tom, that these guys are not learning anything racing against these guys. It's really hard to learn something when another guy is a half a lap around the track, you know, more than you are.
Well, absolutely.
So that's
right.
Just my take.
No, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad that you do take things from the fans' point of view, because that's really the premise of our show. And it always has been, you know, even though we like to cover it, as we say, from an analytical point of view and like to look at things, we like to look at things from a fans' point of view. And you're right. And it's not just I we've said this on the show before many times, that the Xfinity Series, which is now what it's called, or the former Nationwide Series, or the, you know, it's had so many different names. But bottom line, when it started out, it was supposed to be a developmental league. Now, really, I think it's just an opportunity. Now, don't get me wrong, you do see, especially in the Truck Series, you do see, you know, a lot of different drivers that are up and coming. But what happens, you know, Chase Elliott made his name in the Xfinity Series, and obviously I would venture to say, and we'll talk about him here in just a minute, I would venture to say Chase Elliott would be one of the rookies that actually make it to the Chase, no pun intended. So I think that it has. We look at the Dillon boys, even though they're a pedigree. You know, both Ty and Austin. Of course, Ty came up from the Truck Series, and Austin, you know, did well and made his name in the Xfinity Series as well. So there have been drivers who have came up, and there is that part of the argument that says, you know, young drivers that get to drive against and compete against drivers like Kyle Busch in an Xfinity race really does hone their skills, because you don't get better at racing by racing against people you're already better than. So there is that part of the argument. But I totally agree with you. I'm on your side. Well, you're out there in North Texas, and I tell you what, outside of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which is my home track right here in my backyard per se, and if you got to live somewhere rough or racing, Indianapolis is not the worst place to live. But Texas Motor Speedway, I've had an opportunity to be there a few times, and certainly up there in North Texas, the Duck Commander 500 this weekend. And it's a fast track. It's a quad oval, 1.5 miles paved. And they opened up that track, I believe, in 1995 for NASCAR racing. We can go into a lot of these drivers, but certainly let's talk about last night's races. As we mentioned, this interview is being played next week, so we will already know who the winner is. But at the moment, we're going to talk and act like we don't know who the winner is. But last night, obviously, as you mentioned, it was the Kyle Busch hour yet again. So talk with us about last night's race at Texas Motor Speedway, and Don, what can we look at to going into this weekend?
Well, last night Kyle Busch set a record. It was his 8th Xfinity Series win at Texas Motor Speedway, so I guess we can officially say he is the king of Texas Motor Speedway in Xfinity Series racing, and it's his fourth victory and fifth top 10 finish in 2016. The interesting thing about last night's race that I saw again, and I hate to harp on it, but I mean, if you look at the top eight positions, out of those eight positions, Erik Jones is the only Xfinity Series driver in there, full-time Xfinity Series drivers. Others, I guess now, I will say Elliott Sadler, I guess now is a full-time Xfinity Series driver, but I still throw him into the Cup Series. I mean, he had a career in the Cup Series for a long time. So I guess technically Erik Jones, Elliott Sadler, the only two, all the others, Cup Series drivers. And so, you know, that pretty much tells you the story of last night's race. There was a lot of passing, but I tell you what I've seen though through practice with the Cup drivers and stuff is what we've pretty much expected. And I think you're going to see a lot of what you saw at Atlanta. But, you know, again, Tom, you've been to Texas, so you know this for sure. Let me make one thing clear. A lot of people like to make examples of, you know, Texas is just another Atlanta or Texas is a Charlotte. And let me tell you, nothing could be further from the truth to compare Texas to Charlotte. The only two things that those tracks have in common is they're both SMI tracks and they're both mile and a half. Other than that, completely different. And Texas actually runs, I mean, it's its own animal. Atlanta, you know, there's a back and forth between is Atlanta faster than Texas or Texas faster than Atlanta. And I tell you, I think it just depends on the day, on the weather. and that's pretty much it, because they are extremely fast tracks and multiple grooves that you can run. And from what I've seen with this new downforce package, you're going to see quite a bit of passing. And what I like, what I've seen, not just here over the last day or so, but what I've seen so far this season is we might not be seeing a whole lot of passing up front. And keep in mind, Tom, it's what everybody says. It's common sense. What you see on TV is what they have to show. They have to show you what's going on up front. If you're lucky enough to be at the track, you are seeing incredible battles mid-pack and back, and there is so much passing. And for a track like Texas, a mile and a half cookie-cutter tracks that tend to get boring because they tend to get strung out, that's awesome for fans to be able to, you know, see these multiple battles and multiple passing, because, I mean, come on, that's what we come to watch in racing is, you know, that's what we want to see. So I expect to see quite a few battles, and in the, you know, early stages, just, you know, guys trying to find which groove they want to run. And I think here it's going to be like Atlanta. The guys, you know, anybody running in the middle is going to suck. It's either the guys that can run the low, you know, the low line and stick it down there are going to do well, but it's usually the guys that like to run and kiss that wall, like a Kyle Larson and a Greg Biffle, guys that are going to run really, really loose and enjoy their cars loose, a Dale Earnhardt Jr. Those are the guys that are going to take advantage of that high line, going into one and two and zip that car back down, and you'll see them moving that car around. And I think it's going to be really exciting what we get to see.
Well, we're talking with Don Murphy, host of Track Smack. Really, really a great radio show. I know you guys flagship out of Texas there in San Antonio, which is not where you're at today. Texas is a big state. But talk with us a little bit about what Track Smack is and what you guys talk about on your show over there. We'll get into a fine detail analysis of the Duck Commander 500.
Well, Track Smack, I have been doing Track Smack now for 14 years, actually, but I'm saying technically it's our 13th season. I started off at a local sports radio station here, and it was funny. We were a PRN affiliate, and so we came up. Track Smack started as a 30-minute pre-race, pre-race show. We kind of took a local
the pre, right. Been there, done that before, trust me.
We were the opening act for the PRN opening act. And so it started out as a 30-minute show, and 13 years later, we went to a two-hour show locally, you know, in San Antonio, got picked up and started doing more syndication stuff. And then now, just like you, I have found that, you know, the place to be is podcasting and doing it that way. It's so much easier. And it's not that it's easier. Just to me, it's instead of being on this, you know, okay, I've got 2 hours one day a week. I mean, if I want to get up and you know, pop out a 30-minute podcast on something I'm thinking or do an interview and get it right up, I have that ability. And it's just, I just love the freedom of it. Not only that, but I'm not one that does well with rules and regulations. And so I like the freedom to speak my mind and say what not only I'm feeling, but I think what the average fan feels as well. So that's what we do. And, you know, we are – TrackSmackRadio.com is the website, but pretty much every – all of the – you know, areas just like your show that you can find podcasts. I'm on sure. iTunes, iHeart, TuneIn, Podomatic, and Stitcher are the main ones that that you can find the show on, or, you know, at TracksMacDawn on Twitter, and of course I'm on Facebook as well.
You're definitely on Facebook. We know that for a fact. And I love your little cell phone camera interviews. Those are awesome. Because it really,
hey,
you know, I'm not making fun of them. I really am complimenting them because it really, really does kind of give you what if a fan's walking through the pits and they say, oh, there's my driver. Hey, get a selfie with me or a video with me. That's what it's like. It really is what it's like. So that's pretty awesome.
And you know what, Tom? I'm shocked because there is a new feature on Facebook, and it's the live video feature. And I don't
right.
know. I'm shocked that I'm not seeing more of it at racetracks by these by media people. Because and so yesterday, you know, I was trying it out. I'm talking with you know, I've got several good friends, especially the local Texas drivers and stuff. But David Starr is a great friend of mine, and so I just happened to be standing there, and I'm like, and again, his sponsor Zachary is a local business, construction business out of San Antonio. So I'm standing there with all their execs and stuff, and I thought, hell, you know, let's just do this. And so, it's just, but again, I kind of make fun of media stuff because, you know, let's
sure.
face it. I mean, you know, it's so, as a fan, you know this, as a fan, you sit there and ridicule people as well. I'm sure, you know, what a dumb question. Or you get tired of hearing the same crap every week, you know, because that's mm-hmm. when the drivers, in my opinion, become very robotic. So I'm this quirky chick, and I'm not afraid to go, you know, chick, you know, with certain guys or whatever, especially ones that I've got good rapport with. But I just like to have fun and try to draw out their personality. And to me, doing something like that, you're putting them on the spot. But they kind of relax and just, you know, kind of give you more of who they are instead of just this, you know, here I am, you know, this is my car, we're doing great, sponsor, plug, that, you know, that kind of deal. So.
Absolutely. And we do the same thing, but we have a lot of fun with Periscope. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that seems to be a very popular thing. And I was actually out at the U.S. Nationals here in Indianapolis with the NHRA, and I was talking to John Force, and I had him on Periscope. And he didn't realize it at first. Of course, if you've ever talked to John Force, he's a talker to begin with. So he didn't really. He goes, and there, of course, we had it on Periscope. He goes, is that one of those scopes? Are you doing a scope on me? I'm like, sure, you know, absolutely, we're on scope. And he goes. I don't know about that scope stuff. I'm always nervous when somebody says they want to do a scope. But, you know, you just got to understand John Force's personality. But that was hilarious. But, you know, the Texas Motor Speedway, the Duck Commander 500, obviously a lot of fun. A lot of fun for the fans, a lot of fun for the drivers. Certainly anybody that knows anything about Duck Commander knows Duck Dynasty. They're usually out there hanging out, so it's a good opportunity for fans to meet them. You know, this is going to be a good race, though. We'll see what happens. Kevin Harvick has not won there yet. Jimmy Johnson has 6 wins there, and certainly this is one race. When the race is over, all the liberals go crazy because the Second Amendment rights this is not a political show. I'm just saying that the trophy is a set of 6 shooters, and they love to shoot them off. So, And there are groups out there that want to stop that trophy from being awarded. And trust me, there is. But like I said, that's a different topic for a different show that I don't host. But, yes, it is a fun track. It is a fun race. Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, you look at those two side by side. Really, this is a good year for Kevin Harvick, and he's doing well in the point standings. And, of course, him and Jimmy Johnson right there, 1 and 2 as well. And then, of course, back to the Kyle Busch Hour, who's up 2 slots as well in the standings. So is this going to be a usual suspects there in Texas, or do we see a guy like Chase Elliott or Carl Edwards, who has the poll, who seems to like that track out there in Texas. Talk with us about the keys to this race and, you know, what's going to happen in this race based on what we know on the qualification so far for the Duck Commander 500 there at the Texas Motor Speedway.
One thing about Texas is, you know, it wasn't until maybe like the last – 5 or 6 years that we actually started to get a couple of repeat winners, because for the longest time, Texas was one of those tracks where there wasn't repeat winners. And this is a track that you tend to find your first-time winners at. And so it would be great to see a Kevin Harvick. I mean, it took Jeff Gordon up until I think it was like 3 years ago to get a win at Texas. It was one of those, you know, tracks that had eluded him in the victory. So, you know, a guy like Kevin Harvick, it would be great to see him get the win. But there's really no pegging favorites. I mean, of course, Jimmy Johnson, anytime he goes to a mile and a half track, you got to look at Jimmy. But I'm telling you, these Penske cars were strong. Chase Elliott has won here in the past and, you know, in the Xfinity series. And so, you know, he's very familiar with that track. And yeah, I mean, I definitely think you could see a Chase Elliott there in victory lane, and that would be super cool as well. But again, you know, it's fun to see guys though, like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. up there starting fifth. And, you know, he seems to really in the last few races finally got that, you know, team turned around. And that's a real positive for Roush Fenway Racing, a team that has really, really struggled over the last few seasons. You know, Ryan Blaney up there. And you mentioned this earlier. I am loving this rookie class and this little battle going on between Chase and Ryan. And they always seem to be around each other on the track, and they're right there in point standings together. So it's fun to watch those two.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we look at Chase Elliott and certainly been able to you know, I think a lot of people would say that he's certainly in the chase, no pun intended, for the rookie of the year. But you know, again, Ryan Blaney, we look at these two side by side, and if we just look at the two of these side by side going into Texas, I mean, it is just an incredible matchup between the two of them. It'd be interesting for conversation for people like us and for the fans to see them to battle it out for the checkered at the end of the race. But also we know that young drivers have to do what young drivers do, and so a lot of times they're not as aggressive as they should be. But I think we stand a good shot of seeing a good showing of one or both of the star rookies of 2016 this weekend at Texas.
Oh, so do I. Let me tell you, and this was just one of those little, you know, pointless fun fact nuggets that, you know, I'll throw out there. But one of the interesting things that took place this weekend that never has here at Texas, and it's so funny because I have always thought this, even when I come here for the Indy Series races and, the Truck Series in June, I've often wondered, and I'm sure you have too, to me what is so ridiculous about night races is all weekend that you're there for a night race or whatever, the practices are during the day. And I'm like, what are these guys possibly learning? Because the track conditions are going to be completely different. You know, what are you possibly learning about your car and stuff when you're practicing during the day? And we've often asked drivers that, and they all say the same thing, you know, nothing. You know, because everything you learn pretty much just gets thrown out of the window and you start over. But what's interesting is NASCAR made the choice this weekend, and that's why I'm saying it's, as a media person, it's been really hard for us and team guys to adjust to this. We actually had the guys arrived in town on Thursday and have practice on Thursday. You know, the Xfinity Series guys got to the track and they didn't leave the track till 10 o'clock at night Thursday night. And then yesterday we cut the track. We have one practice after qualifying for the Cup Series, and they did the practice later in the, you know, late afternoon going into evening time, just to get them a little bit closer to what, you know, race start time conditions might be. And so I thought that was kind of cool, though. You know, it to me it makes sense to get a little better, you know, information and stuff, especially with this downforce package and stuff like that. You know, it was kind of cool. Like I said, bit of a change, bit different, and really kind of taxing on these teams because it meant for two late evenings at the track for them. But I think it definitely benefits the teams as far as, you know, what they have to prepare for coming into the race as far as numbers and stuff like that go.
Well, we're talking with Don Murphy of TrackSmack, and I know you're out there in San Antonio. I want to get to some Spurs and Cowboys talk here in just a second. But real quickly, Brian Vickers doing very well as the interim driver in the Bass Pro car for Tony Stewart. I think by all accounts, he's carrying the Tony Stewart banner very, very well. He's had a good couple weeks. How do you think Brian Vickers will do there in – Texas. And, you know, what are your overall thoughts of Vickers stepping in there for Tony Stewart? I think he's done a phenomenal job by all accounts, especially in lieu of everything that's gone on with him as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Brian, I mean, let's face it, Brian's a guy that, you know, when he ran with Hendrick and stuff, was a strong runner. When he ran with Waltrip Racing, I mean, he is a great driver. And the things that he has had to overcome and deal with and adjust, you know, too, with his illness and stuff is amazing. And now, you know, to have this talk of him possibly, you know, doing the 500 in Indy and stuff too, which I mm-hmm. really, really hope that we see that. That would be awesome for him. I think any opportunity he gets to get back into the car and acclimated in the car, it's great to see. He's a great story. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, you know, the 14 cars is part of the Stewart Haas stable, and that's a championship stable. And, you know, they share information. I think we all knew that the goal of that team in general coming into this season was to get that 14 car back into championship mode and try to send Tony Stewart out, you know, if for nothing else, at least get him a chase run, but, you know, really trying to go after that championship and send him out on top. And then, of course, his injury happens. So, you know, that team, that organization, they are all behind, you know, that 14 car and trying to keep it where it needs to be, working as hard as they can to get it where it needs to be and get the information that they need so that when Tony does step back into it, hopefully they are having better finishes and better communication than they have had the last few seasons.
You know, we're kind of getting off topic a little bit, but when we started about Tony Stewart and Stewart Haas Racing, I was moderate, and I would say, you know, looking at things from a fan's point of view, I would say that I am not a big fan, per se, of Danica Patrick. The thing about it is, I think she's one of those drivers you either love or hate her in.
Exactly.
I can tell you one thing, from my experience in the media world, she's not always the most friendly person in the media. So I think a lot of the things that with Danica, she's brought on herself. I think she's a marketability trophy for Stewart Haas Racing. However, all of that said, all of the negative stuff said about Danica Patrick, if she could go out there and compete the way that she did with in Martinsville, and she would shut up the naysayers, I think, relatively quickly, wouldn't you say?
You know, it's so funny that you said, you know, you either have a love or hate, you know, relationship with Danica.
Her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
I'm sorry, Don. I should have warned you. Every time we talk about Danica Patrick, we play that. So go right ahead. I apologize. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I always say, you know, if I was a dude and I was into that, I would probably be into Danica. You know, I mean, look, I tend to defend Danica, you know, and only because, and I hate this. I am so not
girl
like
power.
This. Yes, I really am not. But with that said, let's face it, and I'll be very blunt here. And I like Tony. I have talked with Tony multiple
sure.
times, both on the track and off the track. I've sat at a baccarat table in Vegas with him and other things. And you know, Tony is a great guy. But Tony can be one of the biggest assholes, you know, I mean, out there. And he
absolutely.
He's an ass to the media. He's an ass, you know, to fans at times. But there's still a double standard. You know, Danica is a dry personality. I mean, quite frankly, you know, she's kind of dry. And, you know, I have seen her at times be like that with media. But I've also seen media, you know, and again, keep in mind, a lot of these people are the same people week in, week out, you know. So it's kind of like a family deal, you know, in the end. And you know, there's people that are downright rude to her, too. She has been nothing but gracious whenever I've had the opportunity to talk with her or see her. And I think, like you said, you know, Martinsville's a track that's a driver's track. You have to be talented behind the wheel to wheel that
sure.
car, you know, at Martinsville. And she was incredible and not, again, yes, she makes bonehead, you know, boneheaded decisions, but I also still there's a part of that learning curve still that I try to give her, you know, because she's one of these people that, you know, she was in, you know, the Xfinity series for a hot minute, and that was the first time driving, you know, a stock car. Then she's thrust into the Cup Series. It kind of reminds me and I know people are going to be like, oh, this is no way this is a comparison, but it's the Joey Logano situation. They thrust him into, you know, into that Joe Gibbs car, you know, way too soon, and it was, oh, all we're hearing is how great he's going to be, and he's done nothing. And then it's like he just kind of had to figure it out and find his way, and, you know, next thing you know, he's a champion contender. Do I think Danica would ever be a champion contender? I don't know. You know, I mean, probably not. But with that said, the year that she has been in this series, and I hate doing this, but she finishes better than about 20 other guys that are full-time drivers in this series as well. And, you know, and for the last year or two, she's had better finishes than her boyfriend did. And there's a lot of times, Tom, that what aggravates me is she has gotten caught up in so many other people's messes. And that, you know, and, you know, she was in these processes of doing things, and then there's this mess, and she gets swept up in it. Not to say that she hasn't caused things, because she has, but I think that there's, to me, there's sometimes there's so much, because she's so hyped, and, you know, because she is marketable and because she is good looking, there is a double standard, though, you know, and I've always told people there is a Carl Edwards, you know, multiple Carl Edwards magazine covers out there for GQ and Muscle and Fitness and others, where Carl is all but, you know, standing there with a driver's suit barely around his hips. You know, I mean, and it's nothing but skin. And yet, you know, she poses with a bikini on, and oh my God, the world's going to catch on fire because she's a complete, you know, you know, money hungry, you know, whatever. And it's just, it's such a double standard. But, you know, and then I hear, well, there's so much other female talent out there. And it's like, you know what, there is, but guess what? They're not in the Cup Series. There's also a whole lot of minority talent out there, you know, but right now I have to focus on what is in the Cup Series. And what's in the Cup Series is Danica Patrick. And, you know, and until there's others that, you know, come up and make that way, to me, to make that comparison is completely, you know, asinine, and you just can't think about it. So I just try to look at Danica, you know, week by week, and from what I've seen, you know, she's just like any other driver in the series, you know, learning her way. And you know, I think, like you said, it doesn't matter what she does. If she went on to win 10 races, there's still going to be people out there that, you know, well, she's only winning because she's in, you know, with a Hendrick's Association, so she's in a good car. Put her in, you know, there's always going to be some excuse for something, so.
Haters will be haters, they say, right? We're talking with Don Murphy from Track Smack. And I tell you what, I love her show. Check it out. And certainly there's a lot of different ways to do that. You call Texas home. Hopefully maybe you'll get – are you going to get a chance to come out here to Indianapolis in a month or so?
I probably wouldn't be there in a month, but I'm telling you, that is a bucket list for me. And I have so many friends there. And I tell people, too, I do not want to go to a NASCAR – I do not want to do a Brickyard. I want to do a 500 first. Then I don't know. I've also heard that, you know, Brickyard time of year, you know, unless I want to go and sweat off, you know, 50 pounds, which would be a good thing for me. it's not the most fun race weather wise.
I can tell you one thing. The Brickyard is extremely hot. I've seen a hot dough there with the 500. But the great thing about media, we probably got the best media center in all of racing. And I don't just say that because it's Indianapolis. But because it is Indianapolis, but hopefully you will get out here, because now you have a brand new friend here in Indianapolis as well. You're like I said, you call Texas home. Obviously, the Cowboys and the Texans call Texas home. You know, a lot of rumors going out there that Johnny quarterback Johnny Manziel will come back to Texas and he will play for Dallas. I don't think that's going to happen. Obviously, we've got the draft coming up. A lot of people have pegged Joey Baza, defensive end out of Ohio State. Certainly followed his career because we do a lot of Big Ten talk here. And, you know, I'm an IU alumni, but let's face it. We will give IU. They did get to the Pinstripe Bowl out in the Bronx this year. Fantastic. Bravo. We'll see what happens. But certainly, if you're going to follow Big Ten football, Ohio State's the team to follow. Joey Bosa, defensive end. That's where a lot of Cowboy analysts and mock drafts are putting him in the number four slot. You guys have the Cowboys have the number four pick. Do they go with the defensive end? Do they try to trade up or try to trade down? Is there any truth to the fact? I've heard both things with Johnny Manziel coming to Dallas, but my latest, what I saw earlier this morning, was that Jimmy Johnson has no interest in Johnny Manziel.
Well, as a Cowboys fan, as a diehard Cowboys fan, let me tell you, the greatest thing in the world is to know that that Jerry Jones doesn't really make the decisions anymore.
I am so sorry. I just realized I said Jimmy Johnson. I got NASCAR still in my mind. Jerry Jones. I'm so glad you knew who I was talking about. Go right ahead.
No, Stephen Jones' son makes more of the decisions and seems to be the more level-headed. You know, I would never rule it out because Jerry, let's face it, Jerry's a businessman too. And no matter what, you know, Jerry thinks jersey sales and you know, controversy. And for whatever reason, Jerry likes to try to bring in guys that need a rehab story. I don't know what it is. It's ridiculous. I would say most likely not, that it wouldn't happen. And I was shocked to hear that, you know, Manziel is visiting with Denver. I'm like, hello, you go from hero to zero.
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
but you know, Dallas has been known over the last few seasons to trade up and do different things. And so definitely trying to work on strengthening that defensive line, definitely, you know, needing some DEs. I would think that they're looking, that they'll go with probably a defensive end or something in the first round or with that first pick. And, you know, the quarterback, there's quite a bit of talent in the quarterback area, and that is something that they are looking at. They, let's face it, I am the biggest Tony Romo fan in the world. Anybody come to me with Tony Romo smack, and I'm telling you, I will kick you in your shin and then punch you in, you know, in your throat. I love the guy. I absolutely – there is no bigger guy with heart and no guy that takes more abuse both physically and verbally than Tony Romo. And he's just a great guy. May not have a Super Bowl championship, but I think as a fan, as a true fan of football, that's the guy that you want in your corner no matter what, because he gives you 110% all the time. And that's all you can ask, you know. So, but let's face it, I'm also not stupid, and I understand that while Tony has a way of – magically pulling things out of his rear end, you know, at the most weirdest of times, and can make things happen. He's also very, very injury prone. He had this surgery in the off season, and there's been reports that, you know, even he reported on Twitter this week that he's been throwing. He's 30 days out from surgery, and he's already throwing the ball. He looks to be at OTAs and looks to be ready to go. But he's also, you know, an older quarterback, and you know, the likelihood is they're going to need a solid backup, which is something that we haven't had. And so they are looking for that future guy, I think, you know. But then there's, for whatever reason, here we go with the rumor mill again. You know, RG3 is off the table now and stuff, but rumors out there about Michael Vick coming out of retirement possibly to come in. I've also seen, I was trying to think of who it was. There was someone else too that I saw, a longtime vet as well. But I don't see Johnny Manziel, and maybe that's just my wishful thinking that I don't see him there. But my gosh, you know, all jokes aside, what a tragic story. That is the epitome of, to me, professional athletes nowadays. You have the world in your hands. You know, you are living the dream, and you find some way to be a dumbass and screw it up. And it just, it's so sad. There are so many other guys out there, you know, who would give their, you know, whatever, you know, give up their family to be able to have that opportunity. And, you know, these guys take it for granted. And, you know, hey, it is what it is.
Excuse me. We're talking with Dawn Murphy of Track Smack. Certainly, we had her on here to talk some NASCAR and the Texas Motor Speedway, but she lives out there in Texas, diehard Cowboy fan. I know you live in San Antonio. Great, great city. My son's mom's parents live in San Antonio.
Wow.
I could have just said my son's grandparents live in San Antonio, but I had to go through all of that to tell you that. But that's a great city. You know, obviously the Alamo's there, so I got to use the Alamo reference with the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, you look at this game against the Nuggets. All the starters were rested, except for Duncan, and you guys are right there in the mix again against the mighty, mighty Warriors of Golden State. This is going to be a battle to the end, and this could very well be the last battle for the San Antonio Spurs and Tim Duncan era and in that world as we've come to know it.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you, I will tell you this. And, of course, we here in San Antonio, we have this thing that we say about the Spurs organization. I have dealt with many, many pro organizations through the years working in sports radio and stuff. And we call the Spurs, they're the KGB of sports information.
I've heard that before, actually.
Absolutely. I mean, they are so tight-knit. Nothing gets leaked out. You know nothing until Pop wants you to know something. And then half the time you're not even sure if really what he's telling you is the truth. I would venture to say if the Spurs can pull off a championship win this season, Tim goes out and Manu. I really do believe we're seeing the last of Manu Ginobili, which for me as a fan, Manu, I mean, oh my gosh, if you are a fan of basketball, there is no greater player to watch than Manu Ginobili. He is just, but it's funny because as a Spurs fan, I'm a little disappointed because nothing has been announced, but there was this little leak a few weeks ago by the coach of the Argentinian national team because it was announced that Manu will play one more time for Team Argentina in the Olympics. And his coach made a statement that said, you know, he would like to go ahead. There would be no better way for him to round out and sum up and finish his career than with a gold medal in the Olympics in Argentina. And so Spurs fans immediately are like, okay, wait, are we just talking about his national career? Or are we talking about his basketball career in general? Because if so, then that sounds like he's done. But oh my gosh, I mean, you want to talk about a dude coming back from a crazy injury. How many guys, and here's what I'm talking about the KGB thing. And I don't mean to be like, you know, prude and graphic, but let's face it. I mean, we don't know, even here in San Antonio, nothing has been announced. We don't know with the surgery that he had if he had to have, he had the testicular stuff and if he lost, one or what the situation is. None of that has really been released.
Right.
But, I mean, you're a guy. How many guys do you think are going to come back the way that he has come back as fast as he has from that kind of, injury?
I totally agree. That's going to be a difficult surgery. That would be a difficult surgery to come back with. Don Murphy of Track Smack, I tell you what, you always are welcome here on The Balance, and it's been a lot of fun having you on here, and I appreciate you taking some time to talk with us and tape this interview before you head out to the Texas Motor Speedway. You told me last night it looks like you're going to be able to get into the pace car today. Is that going to be a reality for you?
Oh, yeah. No, I do it every time we come up here, or actually every race I go to. You get to do the media pace car ride, and, there's people that do it so that they can get some insight or whatever to talk. I just do it because I'm a big kid, and anything, any opportunity I get to do something, that's, whatever. Yeah, I'm doing it. So, today Regan Smith will be leisurely driving us around the half-mile track at Texas Motor Speedway, probably around 140 miles an hour or so, which is usually about what they do. But it's fun, it's a good time.
I tell you what, if you do ever get here to cover the 500, we will get you in one of those two-seaters. They do that for all of the media people. I will get you set up, and that is an experience. So I will tell you that much. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I would absolutely love it. I am a huge fan, and one of the things on Track Smack that I do every week, I am talking with the biggest names in the Indy series as well. I follow Indy. I love the Indy series as well. And there was a deal that they had done here in San Antonio a few years back, and we had the two-seater Indy car. and I'm not joking with you. I took a ride down one of our major I-35, one of our major highways, at 4:30 in the afternoon in a two-seater Indy car on the highway, so in the middle of rush hour traffic, and you should have seen the look. People, all of a sudden would glance over and like, what the hell is that?
Oh, absolutely. It's an experience. And I tell you what, to go around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, not quite at race speed, but fast enough to make you feel like you're in the back of a fighter jet. It's incredible. Don Murphy, you're always welcome here on The Balance. I hope that you have a great day out there at the track this weekend. Who gets to shoot the guns this weekend?
Okay. I on my show, I give my pick, and then I cheat and give a backup pick. This week I said Jimmy Johnson, and my backup pick is Joey Logano.
You know, my pick for this race, and this was my pick last week, and I was on another radio show as well earlier this week, and I picked the same driver. So I'm going to stick with that. Chase Elliott, I think he gets a good win out there in Texas. But my backup pick, I think Kevin Harvick is a good opportunity for him to finally get a win there at Texas. So we'll see what happens. We'll compare notes throughout the race, that's for sure. Don,
I was
going to
say, I think there's a good opportunity one of us might be right. So.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Don, and we look forward to talking with you. My name's Tom Michael Sal Presidente. We'll be right back right after this on the Balance Radio Network.
Summer fun, chasing Allie Brooke with a water gun. She'd laugh and she'd scream.
Okay, are you there, Don?
Yeah, thanks so much.
So much fun. I tell you what, that was a lot of fun. I'm glad we finally got together. And now that I know that you like IndyCar, I'm gonna have you on as we get closer to the 500 and different things too. So.
Oh yeah, no, that'd be great. Yeah, I am Tony Kanaan. I'll tell you, I am his official stalker at Texas Motor Speedway. I have fun with him and Juan. I'm a huge Juan Pablo Montoya fan.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Shoot me over your Twitter handles and stuff on Facebook there, when I get all this stuff up on Soundcast later, I'll make sure that you're added on said Twitter.
Yeah, and make sure to send me the links and stuff too, so I can repost them and everything. On all the stuff as well. Thank you so much. Thanks, Tom. It was great.
Have a good day. Bye bye.
You too. Bye bye.